Hello, pals o' mine. I'm Julie Parker, and this is Conversation Accessories. It's a beautiful day here on the Mendocino Coast. We're expecting a little bit of rain tomorrow, but we'll take it. When 2020 ends, I can safely say there will be a collective, hopeful sigh of relief. Speaking of endings, do you know the difference between a graveyard and a cemetery? A graveyard is primarily burial ground within a churchyard. Enjoy this interesting conversation with Veronica Hamilton of Hamilton's Grave Care Services. Now, what part of the country do you hail from?
I was born in Bonners Ferry, Idaho, which is about 30 miles south of the Canadian border. And my parents moved to Willits when I was just about a year old, with my sister and I, and so I was raised in Willits. Yeah.
Did you ever know your family history? Ancestors or?
Not so much. Though in my adult life, I've been able to learn a little bit through my DNA, which is, you know, the ancestry DNA test, which I have found fascinating. I have a lot of Norwegian, Scandinavian blood. So I thought that was really neat. But my mother's side, not so much. She wasn't very close with her family and extended family. And somewhat on my father's side, but no real deep ancestry. I do have a family member, my Uncle Jerry, who's done all the family genealogy. But in my adult life, I've never got to sit down with him and have him tell me, you know.
Where does he live?
He still lives in Washington.
Oh, Washington, okay.
Yeah. So there may still be an opportunity at some point. We connected on the ancestry side a little bit, and I was able to look at his family tree, which is my family tree, and see our ancestors back to the 1700s. So it's really fascinating, and I would love to be able to do more research and find out who these people were and what their lives were like. But I'm not quite sure how to do that yet.
And how they got to Idaho.
Well, my parents, I know how they got to Idaho. My father was in the military, and he and my mother were overseas and coming back to America to have me. And she was pregnant with me at the time. And they literally threw a dart at the map, and it landed on Bonners Ferry, Idaho. And that's where they went. That's how they got there.
I like it.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty interesting way to decide where to go.
So where did they come from? Which countries? You said Norwegian, but...
So our ancestry on my father's side, the DNA information says Eastern Norway. And it's very interesting because it breaks it down to specific regions in Norway, Hallingdal Valley, Buskerud, I think is how it's pronounced. It lists specific regions. So I can take those and put them on a map of Norway, and it looks like it's right around Oslo, which is, I think, the capital of Norway. And the other thing about the ancestry, it lists all your second, third, fourth cousins that you can reach out to. And I've actually had a few distant cousins reach out to me and want to, you know, be friends and know each other. So it's really...
Very cool.
It's very cool. Yeah.
Now, there are websites in the U.S. where you can look at gravestones, grave sites, you know, cemeteries. Do they have them over there as well?
I don't know, but that would be a good way to look. Findagrave.com is one that I've used before to locate graves here, and it's a great site. Sometimes it'll even have information about the person or their life, but it usually at least has a picture of the stone. So that's a great idea.
Well, that's what I was thinking. If you aren't able to make that journey to Norway, it'd be interesting if there was something similar over in that part of the world that you could see.
It would be.
With your current business venture.
Yeah, gosh. To know where my ancestors are buried would just...
And see how those sites look like and see if there's anybody in your family that's taking care of those sites over
there.
That's
a great idea. That's, not something I've even thought of or knew would be a possibility, but I would like to know. I very much would like to know.
I have a cousin who was killed in an auto accident, and his sister, who lives in town here, I said, well, I noticed that someone's putting flowers on your brother's sites, and you know, is that you? And she says, no. I said, really? Who is it? Just, I don't know. I didn't know somebody was doing that.
Really?
Yeah, so you never know. Sympathetic, empathetic people out there.
Well, it could have been a distant friend, perhaps a lover. You never know. No?
He was a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
Now, anybody who enjoys walking through cemeteries, just generally, it's interesting to see the different type of headstones used and symbols, etc., and different type of materials used and what's remained upright and what has not. And it's not uncommon to just wonder, oh, I wonder what happened to the family, if they all died too, if they all left, which is why these type of services that you provide is really appreciated on a very deep level. Appreciated on a deep level from those who don't live locally, you know, who aren't able to take care of grave sites, especially those of someone they care deeply about, and just generally.
Absolutely. One of my clients lives out of the area, but generations of her family are buried here. And after the first stone, the first large family stone that I did for her, she sent me a thank you note, and it was so moving. She told me that for the first time in years, she left Fort Bragg with a sense of joy and peace and relief from a burden that she wasn't even, you know, hadn't even realized that she was carrying, because I was doing this for her. It's like a huge relief of a burden, you know, an emotional, it is a very emotional thing. It is a very intimate thing. And so the reactions from the clients after transforming their loved one's stone is very impactful. You know, it means a lot to me, and it's a wonderful feeling.
So let's go back to how you considered this idea.
Oh, goodness.
Was it a general just kind of wondering? Was it an epiphany? How did it come about?
Well, it came from a friend. I have a friend, a very good friend who knows me well, and they were back east somewhere and in a cemetery visiting some loved one's grave, and they saw a grave care business vehicle out there. And they said they thought of me. They knew my love of cemeteries. They knew my love of stones. They knew I enjoyed working alone. They know me pretty well. So at some point they said, hey, I saw this thing and I thought of you, and I wondered if you might be interested in it. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, I'm going to research this. I'm going to look into it. And so I did. And the more I looked into it, the more I thought, wow, this is a combination of things that I love. I love being in cemeteries. I just feel a sense of peace there. And there's probably some emotional connections with my mother. My mother loved going to cemeteries since I was little. And when I was young, I never understood it. But, you know, she's gone now, and I'm grown up. And I, too, have this appreciation and this feel drawn to cemeteries. So it's a combination of things that I enjoy. I'm also very a detail-oriented person. I like perfection. I like taking something that's disorganized and making order out of it, or taking something that's very dirty and making it very clean and beautiful again. So it really is appealing to me on all levels. But truly the most rewarding part of it is the reaction from the clients. You
know? And a lot of people assume erroneously that cemetery owners are taking care of everything on the property, and they aren't unless you're paying them. They're mowing the grass, they're keeping the roads and paths clear. But, you know, I've walked past plaques, you know, all the grass cuttings were covering it. So it's one of those assumptions that's commonly leapt to. So would you like to explain the difference between what a cemetery offers if they're not being hired for that particular person?
Yeah, correct. The cemetery keepers, they take care of the grounds in general and keeping it neat and nice. And it's a lot of work. And there's, you know, usually not a lot of them doing it. There's, you know, usually one guy that takes care of multiple cemeteries, especially the county ones. But it's really left up to the family to care for the individual plots and stones. And, you know, many people have no idea where to start, or, you know, they try their best if they can to clean it up. But, you know, many people live out of the area. There's people that it's really too emotionally heavy for them to be able to deal with. There's the elderly who physically just can't do it. So there's a lot of reasons why a lot of the stones aren't cared for as much as I would like them to be, or everyone would like them to be. So, yeah.
So why don't you give us an example of a grave site where the stone was in pretty serious disrepair? How do you approach something like that?
Well, disrepair in meaning...
It could be weather elements, mold.
Okay. So through time, stones will all react differently to the weather and through, you know, to time. And there's any number of molds, mildews, algae, lichens that will grow on a stone over time. And, you know, each stone is different. There's granite, there's marble, there's slate, there's sandstone. There's many different types of stone, and each of them will react differently to the elements. So yes, what I come across mostly are the lichens. Yeah. And they do make the stone look really ugly. They just do. You know, they're dark and they grow strangely, and they really can take over a stone, especially the really historic ones, the 100-year-old stones. They seem to like granite, right? You know, they like all the stones, but I've worked on a couple granite ones that were just so covered, so
porous, the ones that are porous.
Yes, so very much easier to clean a polished granite stone, because it doesn't want to grow on the polished stone. There's not as much, you know, open surface area for them to attach and grow onto. But the rough stone, yeah.
And I've read somewhere at some point where people assume they can just take a wire brush and start scrubbing, and it has an adverse effect on the stone, polar opposite of your intention.
There are many ways to damage a stone. You don't want to use anything with salts or acids. No ammonia, no vinegar, nothing lemony kind of cleaner. There is one product that I use that was created by conservators. There's no product more trusted in monument conservation. It's called D2, and it's a biological solution. And so it's non-toxic, non-harmful to me, to the stone, to the ground around it. It's wonderful. It's used on the White House and Arlington Cemetery, and I can absolutely testify that it does miracles, you know. That and some serious elbow grease will transform a stone to be beautiful again.
Have any of your clients so far asked you to clean up a site that's rather old, that goes back, say, 100 years?
Yes. I recently did a stone in Mendocino, and the date on it, his name is Sheriff Tainter, and he was a sheriff here back in the 1800s, 1863, October 20th, 1863 is when he passed. And so his stone was quite old, a beautiful marble stone that at some point had broken, fallen into disrepair, and it was laid not quite flat, but at an angle. Someone did a wonderful repair and put it in cement so that it would, you know, preserve it. And so I was able to clean that stone and restore it and bring it back to pretty much its former glory. And it was very exciting to work on such a historic, beautiful, the craftsmanship on the stone, the carvings is just, it's so beautiful. It's really beautiful, the difference between contemporary stones and the stones from the 1800s are, the difference is vast. So very, very beautiful old stone to work on. I felt honored.
Have you done any research on some of the symbols that were frequently used?
I have to smile and laugh. Yes. So the graveyard symbology is very interesting. I have done quite a bit of research, have a few books, and learning these, even having the books. So it's almost like having the secret code book to go walk through the cemeteries. And it's fascinating. It's really fascinating. Between 1850 and 1880, the general life expectancy, I looked it up, in America here was 38 to 44 for both sexes. And so when you're wandering through a cemetery and you see a beautiful old stone that has a sheath of wheat on it, and if you've walked through many, you've probably seen one, and that signifies a person who lived a fruitful life and lived past the age of 70. And that's just fascinating to me, because not only is that a huge accomplishment in those days, it was, you know, very hard lives, not a big life expectancy to live that long was such an achievement, you know? So it makes me smile when I see those. When you see a symbol of a rose with the stem broken, it means a life that was cut short. You'll see the clasped hands of husband and wife. That's truly beautiful. And on a few of them, I don't know why I find it interesting, but there's a lot of Masonic, secret Masonic, you know, symbology in there. And if the index finger is pointed out on the husband's hand, you know, the hand clasp, it means that he was a Mason. And just knowing, you know, little things like that make me feel like I'm breaking the code and understanding the secret, you know, language of the cemetery symbols. But it's wonderful, and there are a couple really great books on cemetery symbology that I think people would enjoy looking up. And if they enjoy taphophilia, which is enjoying cemeteries and funerary art and grave rubbings and such like that.
Grave rubbings is interesting.
It is interesting. So that's a kind of a hot topic in the cemetery people circles. Some people think that they're great, and some people think that they're horrible and you shouldn't do that because it can degrade the stone and it can erode the stone over time, especially on the more historic ones. So some cemeteries will have rules that it'll say clearly on the rules, no cemetery rubbings, you're not allowed to do that here. So always, you know, if anyone's wandering through the cemeteries, make sure to look at the rules that are listed there. But yeah, I think they're interesting too. I've personally never done one, but I would like to.
It's kind of funny because these days you have cell phones, just take a picture of it. Why do you have to take a rubbing of it?
Right.
And if it's of your family, I think it's fine. But if it is a high-profile figure that's visited frequently, then over time, yes, you can cause damage. Just as if you've ever taken a tour of a cave, they always tell you not to touch the walls because just the oil from your hands can cause damage.
Yeah, they do.
People. So I'm guessing that you probably are often asked, have you seen a ghost while you're working?
I have not yet been asked that.
Really?
I have not yet. I haven't seen any ghost yet, nor have I felt like anything followed me home or is plaguing my dreams or anything like that. But I am kind of a spiritual person, and I do enter the cemetery with reverence and with almost with the attitude or the mind of, please, ancestors, accept me and allow me to do this work in an honorable and respectful way to you and to all here. You know, I do. Those thoughts are in my mind. But not yet. Not yet.
Could be there just kind of watching you.
You know, I kind of feel like that. I get that feeling. I do. And not only do I get that feeling, maybe it could just be my own mind, but I feel like they're happy with what I'm doing. I'd like to think so.
Sometimes I look at cemeteries as an apartment complex. Mm. So you're basically just cleaning out their apartments for them.
Yeah. Well, I would think that I would be happy if my stone was near unreadable. And, you know, that's a person's monument to their life. That's a person's, you know, a family member's connection with someone they loved, someone who lived, someone who had experiences. And I feel like it's just important. I feel like it's important to be able to read them and just preserve that history, preserve that memory.
It's respect. My father told me that there used to be a gentleman here that would just put up a chair by his future gravesite, light a cigar, and just hang out.
Wow.
You know, just visit time and say hi to people. And so it could be that he's there watching in, just got a cigar lit. And
there are people who visit the cemeteries every day. Well, because I've been there multiple days in a row and seen the same people. And you'd be surprised, you know, how many people do come there. Some it's just to walk their dogs, you know. There's an elderly gentleman that I've noticed that I've had a couple little conversations with. He rides a scooter in there every morning. He's there every morning, and he's 94 years old. And I don't know if it's his wife he visits, you know, I don't know, but he's going there to spend time with someone that he loved every day. And that's just so moving. It's special, and special places like that should be cared for and preserved.
What's the most common question that people have asked you?
Well, boy, that's a tough one. Well, as far as work, how much would this stone cost to do?
let me backtrack. Let me. I'll retrieve that question.
Okay.
Now you're great. Your services are not limited to just cleaning the stone. Do you also do like landscape, so to speak?
Correct. So there are other services that I offer that I would like to offer. It's just up until now, the majority of my business has been cleaning the headstones, which I'm totally okay with. That's really what I enjoy doing. But I also offer flower placement. So bringing flowers, whether it be silk or fresh flowers, on special occasions, you know, birthdays, holidays, anniversaries, whatever day might be, you know, important and special to them. As well as message reading and grave sitting, which some people don't know about, but it's a thing. You know, some families from far away will want you to go to their loved one's grave and sit there and read them a message or talk to them, kind of be there for them since they can't be.
I love that.
I love that too. Really, I love that too. You know, and I feel like I'm the person to do that, you know, happily and with a full heart. So, as well as just general plot tidying up, cleaning up. I don't do lawn mowing. You know, I don't do the big landscaping, but I can plant flowers. I can plant plants. I did a rock garden and a succulent garden on my own mother's grave. So,
well, I was thinking of the spot itself. Sometimes little weeds will grow in there, or
yeah,
something of that nature.
So definitely weeding, tidying up, flower placement, headstone. I mean, and I'm very open. If there's something that a client would like me to do, I'd be happy to consider it. You know, so yeah, that's.
And I don't think some people realize that part of a cemetery's business is to clear out dead flowers, or just to clear them out generally, like they might do it every few months or something.
Right.
And so even though you just put it there 2 days ago, this is part of their routine of clearing dead things out.
Yes. Yes, they do. I believe at Rose Cemetery, the sign posted says that they do it twice a year. I think it even might give you the months that they do it in. So if it's some special thing that you want to take back, or, you know, they post it and let people know this is when we do it. But
because people do often leave trinkets, little items,
yes,
artifacts.
It's called grave goods.
Grave.
There's a name, grave goods, and coins are considered grave goods. Seashells are considered grave goods. People have been bringing seashells or adorning graves with seashells. It's like a primal. It's very old. So thousands of years ago, when our ancestors or I was just reading about it recently. It's the most primal, having a grave decorated with seashells. It goes back a long, long way.
And stones too. I've seen stones placed on them.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes the coins can be a military thing, for if they served with someone, if they were with them when they died, things like that. So I'm not sure what all of them mean, but yeah, you'll see a lot of coins, you'll see trinkets, you'll see figurines, you'll see little angels. Yeah, there's a lot.
And of course you have the Veterans Day, which is coming up. You'll be seeing wreaths.
You do, and flags. So, and I don't know if there's a group, whenever the last Veterans Day was, I don't know if Boy Scouts, I'm not sure who does, but I believe there's a group that goes around and puts a flag on every single veteran's grave, and that's just wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, even if their family's long gone or they have no more descendants, at least on that one day a year, they're remembered and respected.
As they should be.
As they should be, yeah.
So for those who are able to visit their family's gravesides, is there anything that they can do themselves that you would suggest? That's like, let's say, mark on their calendar, like once every 3 months to make a visit and to clean it up, like anything like that.
So sure. If what I would recommend, you know, is to warm, clean water, some clean rags, some softer natural bristle brush. You would never want to use a wire brush. You would never want to use anything abrasive. So natural bristle brush or nylon brushes, if they're not too aggressive, abrasive. And a good scrubbing, you know, put the water on it, let it soak in, give it a good scrubbing, you know, wipe it down and clean it off. You can purchase D2 online if it's a family member's grave that you visit often and you just want to keep it sparkling. That's what I would recommend. You know, going there, tidying it up, giving it a nice scrub. But I would really caution against using any other kind of cleaner. I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't risk it.
One final question. If someone is considering doing this, offering the service in their hometown, wherever it may be in the country or the world, is there a protocol for approaching the owners of the cemetery just to let them know that you're doing this?
So yes, it's what A good thing to do in each county, there are cemetery districts, or there is here, I would think it's the same everywhere, cemetery districts, and that district will usually have a board of directors, unless it's a privately owned cemetery. Like Rose Memorial is a privately owned cemetery, so it's a person that owns that, and you go to them, and this is what I have learned along the way. My learning as I go protocol, and talk to them and say, hi, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. You know, I've done the research. I've done the study. I have the education. I want to clean stones, and I want to just, you know, beautify and help this be a better place. So that's the right thing to do. Also sending a letter of introduction about, you know, who you are to the board of directors for the cemetery district is also a nice thing to do. And those are usually for the county cemeteries. That's what I would suggest. That's a good place to start, just to kind of say, hey, I'm here. This is what I'm attempting to do. This is what I'd like to do. Is this okay? You know, may I have a copy of your rules and regulations? Maybe a map of your cemetery, and what else do I need to know?
Yeah. When I was in grade school, we'd place flowers on my family's graves, and I would just walk around the farthest corner, the farthest reaches, and I would sing to them somehow. I felt that that would make them feel better. I don't know why. And the one song in particular was Rainy Days and Mondays. And I look back and laugh at it because I think, like, oh, you know, my singing probably just making them feel worse, you know. But it's interesting the connections some people will have, because I really believe, looking back on it from a different perspective, is that I understood, even as a child, that these were people, and they had lives, and they had stories, and cemeteries are just filled with stories.
They are. They hold so much history and so much memory, and I can feel that when I'm there. And, you know, I'll talk to them too. I'll walk by a stone and say the name out loud. I just feel like it's...
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah.
Hey, Betty.
Yeah. How are you doing today? Do you like what I'm doing over here? You know, I do. I talk to myself. I talk to them. And I feel like they like me being there. Maybe I just like to think that. But I do get that feeling, you know, and I hope someday when I'm gone and I have a stone that some stranger will walk by and say my name and say hello to me and wonder who I was and what my life was like, you know.
And what's going on these days? What's happening here?
Yeah, I sure hope so.
Do something different. Learn some of the interesting stories about those buried in your hometown cemetery by contacting your local historical society.